So today we're going to talk about more about neutrality. Before we get started any further, though, those of you who bought your Bible, if it's an electronic form, whatever form it's in, let's hold it high and do our biblical affirmation. I believe the Bible is God's Word. Inerrant, infallible, inspired, authoritative, relevant. I will, by God's grace, obey it and apply it to my life today. All right. So I start this off. I made a note when I was younger, and many of you may be this way. I don't know. Maybe I'm just old. But when I first started going to church, or I heard about church, or heard what it was like to be a Christian, I was told by people it's full of a bunch of don'ts. Anybody ever heard that? Maybe I'm the only one. Thank you, Wade. Yeah. Maybe there's a couple of us. May have been just during our generation. I don't know. But as I learned and as I studied, it's really a bunch of do's. It's a bunch of go's. When we decide to follow Christ, it's full of go. Abraham, God told Abraham in Genesis 12, go, leave your country, family, and your family's father. Go, leave, go. Moses fled Egypt. God told him to go back. And there is Israelites left Egypt, as we know, wandered for 40 years. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. Jacob, in Genesis 31, the Lord told him to return to the land of his fathers and to those of your father, and I will be with you. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem. She was in her third trimester of her pregnancy. Paul was told to go to Rome. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Go. It goes on and on and on. And I wondered, go. Why did he tell us to continue to go, to continue to grow? And I thought today, people are confused, I think. In my opinion, they're lost and confused. People get stalled in neutral in their journey with Christ. And people see Christians not moving forward. So what happens when we become stalled or stop moving in our journey? We stop reading the Word. Anybody ever have that issue? I'm going to raise my hand. God really spoke to me. So when I'm saying these words to you today, I'm telling you it was as much for me. And I'm just sharing what God told me to get off my backside and get up and start moving. We stop attending church or Bible study. Following Christ becomes an add-on for when we have time or there's a holiday celebrating Him. I can't tell you how many people I know that's become true for. And it's sad. I can't tell you how many times I've stepped in some of these holes on my journey with Christ where I've stalled, I've stopped moving. Often when we stall, it's because we're concerned with what man thinks, not what God thinks. And that can be a lot of different things. And I don't know what it might be for you, but I know for me, you know, it could be my career, it could be materialism, it could be finances. I stop trusting, and when I stop trusting, my feet stop moving. I'm not unlike you. When we stop trusting, when we stop it, our feet stop moving. And when our feet stop moving, we're in neutral. Neutral. We're an idol. And therefore, we don't glorify God. In John chapter 12, verse 42, it said, many rulers believe in Jesus, but were afraid they would be put out of the synagogue if they confessed Jesus. I tell you, when I read that, I just wanted to drop to my knees. How many times do we know people? Do I know people? Or do I? I know who Jesus is, but I seek the praise, I seek the approval of man over my Savior in my day-to-day walk. It may be in school, it may be at work, it may be at home. We oftentimes find ourselves seeking that and not seeking Christ because these people were afraid they'd be kicked out of the synagogue because they were rulers. They held important positions. They couldn't afford to be seen lower by man, and so they stopped moving. And it's one of the problems that I think is prevalent in today's society. Is we stop moving. You look at all the movements. You look at all the things that are out there. And Christians stand on the sideline and don't say anything. Don't do anything. Sometimes we don't even say or do anything with our vote, which is secret. And we look at the world we live in today. I mean, there are shootings in schools all over the place and newspapers. I'll tell you, we didn't have shootings in schools when I was a kid because God was there. And we let Him out. We said, we don't want you here. We're not going to pray to you. We don't want you here. God loves us. So what do you think He did? He left. You read the Bible, that's what happens. I love you so much. I don't want you, don't want to leave you, but you've asked me to leave you. That's what happens. We stand on the sidelines and let these things happen. We've got to stand up. We've got to move forward. We can't be neutral any longer. In Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money or the world. I don't know what that is for you, but cannot serve God and man. You cannot serve God and materialism. Many are trying to do both and failing on both counts. We try to do this balance of this is the time for God and this is the time for the worldly things, and we balance, it doesn't work. We're always out of balance. People will say, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. And in religion, I'm an innocent bystander. I show up, I sit down, I go home. Jesus does not allow you to be an innocent bystander. You have to take sides. You have to make a choice. Jesus says here in Matthew 6:24, right? You'll hate one and love the other. You have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. And you say, I've made a choice. Or they've made a choice. I see where the choice has been made. How can you see it if nothing's changed? How can we see that there's a change if we continue to do the same things we've always done and allow the same things and be a bystander? Christ does not allow us to stand on the side and be bystanders or spectators or in neutral. Jesus does not allow us to sit on the fence. Search His Word. Look at what I'm saying. Don't trust me. Trust His Word. He says, go, move, do, act. He tells everyone. I heard of a man once that they asked, are you a Christian? And he said, I'm a Methodist, been a Methodist all my life, and no one is going to make a Christian out of me. You could put in any denomination. People get wrapped up in religion. People get wrapped up in things that don't bring value and change. We do. We all do that. It takes a choice. It takes an effort to make a difference. You know, people get caught up in faith and think faith is a destination, not an action. Faith is not a destination. Jesus doesn't tell us it's a destination. He tells us it's an action. It is a go-to. It is a make happen. Our faith, our actions should be an outward expression of our inner faith. And, you know, people want to go, well, Lane, it sounds a little bit like you're talking about works to me. No, I'm not talking about works. Let me tell you the difference in works. Works brings glory to the person. Faith or good deeds bring glory to God. When we do something so we can be seen or that we can feel more valuable to the people around us here on earth, those are works. Think about the Pharisees, right? What are some of the things they did? One of the things they did, they made long prayers. In private? No. Out on the street. Because why? They were concerned that God couldn't hear them when they were in private? No. They were concerned with what others thought of them. And so what do? They put on these elaborate, beautiful robes and they would go out and make these long speeches, these long prayers to glorify God or to glorify them? Glorify them. It was works. It was all works. If our deeds bring glory to God, I call them good deeds. You can call them our deeds. You can call them whatever you'd like. But when we think about our actions and what we do, that's the difference. Is it glorifying us or glorifying God? If it's glorifying God, they're deeds. not works. And I'm not talking about works. Are you a real Christian? Have you chosen sides? Are you following Christ? Have you truly chosen a side? God really spoke to me on this. Have you really chosen a side? If I go ask your coworker, Randon, have you chosen a side? If you go ask your kids, have you chosen a side? If I go ask, you know, someone on the street that's an acquaintance of yours, have you chosen a side? What would they say? The other thing is many have a wrong idea of what a Christian is because many are sitting on the sideline or neutral, not moving. So a lot of people have this idea of what being a Christian is, and it's not what it is. And the Bible says it's much more than that, and it's at least three things. And so we're talking about neutrality, but I also want to talk about what it is to be a Christian. Not in my eyes, not in the world's eyes, but what the Bible says. And there's three things that point out. And you know, some people think a Christian is one who prays, one who lives by, you know, a set of rules, one who holds the commandments. A lot of it is works, right? That's how what a lot of people think. And so therefore there are certain religions out there that people go, oh, that must be a Christian because they're a good person. God sees the heart. The Bible says it's much more than that. It's at least three things. One, a person who made a choice. Moses said in Deuteronomy 30:19, today I've been given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving your Lord, your God, obeying Him and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. Deuteronomy 30:19. Moses, a choice. Old Testament, it's fairly old. Think it's relevant today? A choice. He's talking about making a choice as a people, as a person. We have to make a choice. That's one of the first steps. It can't be watered down. And to make a choice, you can't say, well, I'm a bystander. I'm sitting on the fence. I'm allowing these things to take place in the society around me, and I'm not willing to step up. I have to say, you haven't made a choice if that's the case. I haven't made a choice if that's the case. In 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah, the great prophet, said, then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent because they didn't want to make a choice. A lot of them wanted to choose Baal. A lot of them wanted to choose God. They were afraid to make a choice. What if they were wrong? I talked to a guy the other day. He said, I don't really believe in that religious mumbo jumbo. And I said, well, I don't really believe in religious mumbo jumbo either, but I believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe He died on the cross for my sins and rose 3 days later. And that's the choice I've made. And he said, you make it sound so certain. I'm just not so certain. And there's a lot of people out there like that. I'm just not certain. So when we're not certain, what do we do? What do we do? That's just it. We don't do anything, do we? We don't make a choice. We put it off for tomorrow. Moses and Elijah are telling him, you must make a choice. It cannot be both ways. It's this way or it's this way. But it can't be both. And when we're not sure or, you know, something happens that, you know, we tend to go, I'm not going to do anything. I know when there's tough decisions in my household, my wife and I sometimes will be on the phone. I travel a lot and we will go, I'll wait till you get home and we'll make the decision. Which is a nice way of saying, I don't want to deal with it. And I can tell you don't want to deal with it either. We'll just deal with it later. It's look, we're a sinful people. It happens. But we can't put off our choice for God or for the world. And we can't have them both. We can't have them both. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, even through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Only a few, not the millions, not the trillions, not the billions. Only a few will find this opening. Only a few are prepared to pay the price to follow Christ. The vast majority of people are on a wide road that leads to destruction and death. And the thing that is most disheartening about that is, oftentimes, they don't even know it. They think a cross hanging from their neck on a chain and a bumper sticker on their car is going to get them where they need to be. But they slap that bumper sticker on there, they go to the jewelry store and they buy that necklace, and they head straight to the bar where they were the week before they said they committed to Christ. They verbally abuse their family. They continue to live in this world, and they don't change anything, and that's what the world sees. I have to agree. Don't sign me up for that either. That's not a Christian. That's not what God called us to do. That's not making a choice. But that's what they see, and that's what this world is seeing. They see this religion of Christianity, of this, oh, don't worry, you don't have to change. The Bible doesn't teach that. And the Bible teaches us that when we accept Christ and we make that choice, what do we get? We receive the powerful Holy Spirit that helps us face temptation and the struggle of life. We don't have to fight it alone anymore. You know, this last song, fear. We don't have to, it's a slave. It wants us to be its slave. It wants us to be scared. What a weapon of the devil, right? It wants us to be scared. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. Do we call on Him? Do we reach out? Do we pray? Do we search God's Word? Do we fellowship with people who can help us through that? That's part of our choice. There are going to be problems. There are going to be struggles. There's going to be persecution. We're all going to get persecuted for being, oh, you know, don't include them. They're a Christian. They're not going to do that. Oh, what a compliment. What's worse is, hey, we're going to go have a few beers. Why don't you go with us? Because they don't see that you're different. They don't see that I'm different because I don't act different. If I had made a choice, I would be different. If you made a choice, you'd be different. But if they don't see you as that, you've got to, you know, you're in neutral. Maybe you've accepted Christ, but you're in neutral. You're not moving forward. You're not going and making, you know, disciples. You're not going and being a fisher of men. You're standing still. I'm standing still. The Holy Spirit will be there to give you strength and courage and wisdom as you face it. The Holy Spirit lives within us. I cannot tell you, I cannot stand here without being filled up by the Holy Spirit. My biggest fear every time I walk up here, and I'll tell you the truth, it's on announcements too. Is God going to be here? Because you don't want to hear Landon's words. I don't want to. I want to hear God's words. Is He going to fill me up? Is He going to be here? And you know what? His Word tells me He always is. But I still find fear. I'll just be up front with you. That's something that I ask Him to forgive me about. I stood right here and prayed that before I came up here. God, forgive me. You said if one or more gathered, who's here? He's here. If I prepare myself, which is my responsibility, He will use me. He doesn't need me. He wants me. So my job is just to be prepared. He's not going to give us something that we can't handle. And He says, put your problems on me, doesn't He? For what? My yoke is light. I can handle it. Don't carry those things with you. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I'm with you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh man, I would think probably everyone in this room can quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new what? Creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Is that what's manifested to the people around us when we make this choice? Galatians 6:15 says it doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. God says you must be transformed. You must be changed. You cannot accept Christ and go back to the same way of living. You can't do it if you've truly made a choice. Too many people claim to be a follower of Christ, but they've not changed. They haven't changed. They're really an acknowledger of Christ. Do you not agree? They just acknowledge Him. If you don't follow Him, you haven't made a choice. You just acknowledge Him. Even Satan acknowledges who Christ is. I believe the reason God wanted people to move in the Bible was to take them out of their circumstances. Abraham, go move. Jacob, move. Go. I've got to get you out of this to help you change. Sometimes the hardest thing we can do is make a choice to follow Christ, but then stay in that same circle. It's hard, am I right? It's hard for me. Maybe I'm the only one, but it's hard. So God says, go, go. And sometimes it is a physical go. The points I'm making out to you today are a physical go, but it's also a spiritual go. It's a spiritual rooting. And you read that in the Bible that our roots should grow deep, right? It should not be in sand. It should be in fertile soil, right? We can't not make a choice. And we have to go. We have to not stand still. And I believe He took them out of some of those to help them deal with some of the circumstances. Your mind, your emotions, your will must be changed. It must be changed in order to make this choice. So, what if God met Simon and Andrew at the Sea of Galilee? Anybody remember this? Right? God meets Simon and Andrew at the Sea of Galilee. I love this. And what does He say? Anybody? Drop your nets. Follow Me. Unfortunately, in today's world, I think they think it reads more like this. Jesus comes up and says, hey, boys, what are you doing? Well, I'm fishing. Well, that's great. I'm Jesus. I know who you are. I've heard a few things. I know, right? I know. So He says, that's awesome. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be back here next week at this time. It just happens to be on a Sunday. Let's just hang out, right? We'll visit a little bit. Okay? And Peter says, well, shouldn't we come with you? Shouldn't we change? No, don't change. Stay the way you are. I know you're a sailor. You got a little salty language. It's okay. I understand. And when people ask you, just say, hey, he'll be back Sunday and I'm going to talk to him. Don't know a whole lot. He didn't say that, did he? But a lot of people today seem to think that. That's a Jesus acknowledgement, not a Jesus follower. He told them to drop everything. Don't go home. Don't settle your affairs. Come on, let's go. I will take care of you. We will go on a journey. Will it all be roses? No. Will there be persecution? Yes. Will I be with you? Yes. Will I give you the Holy Spirit? Yes. And I'll transform you. And through that journey, and through the valleys and the peaks of that journey, you will develop into a fully follower of Me. So much so that when Peter, who was a fisherman, and casting these out, and we can go through Peter's life where he was up and down, right? Anybody know how he died? Upside down. He was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to die the way Christ died. You must come to the cross with a childlike faith and let Christ into your heart, following Him in discipleship, and that is followed by the Holy Spirit renewing your mind all the time. And I apologize. I kind of got ahead, so I went 1 and 2. How do you feel about that? And there's 3 points. Are you thinking you're getting out of here early? 3 points is 8 pages long, so just sit tight. I'm just kidding. I actually went over this and I thought to myself, wow, this seems like a lot. And it's interesting. I'm just letting God speak through me. And I hope it resonates with you the way it resonated with me on the plane that day and has resonated with me every day since. A Christian is a person who also accepts a challenge. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, then He said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be My follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow Me. Give up your own way. It's not easy. But if we don't, it's destruction and death. Either way we choose, God says that there's two roads, right? We can either be on a road with Him that's going to lead to death, but death with Him, or we can be on this road that leads to death and destruction. They all go to the same place, but we get there differently. Am I right? Make a choice. Accept a challenge. He says right here, give up your own way. Take the road that goes with me. Don't take the road that goes with the world. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Jesus would walk down the street and call people from their businesses to follow him. He'd walk down the street, they'd leave their tax collecting booth, right? They would leave their businesses, they'd follow him, he had a great following. But people stopped following when they learned he was going to die and called them to pick up their cross. What does pick up your cross mean? What does that mean? Pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, I'm going to the cross to die, will you go with me? That's what that means. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's why the road is narrow and the gate is narrow. Because not everyone can commit to that. People thought they were just going along to see him perform miracles, and they could be with part of that. They were okay with that. Because we're hanging with this guy, he's raising people from the dead, he's curing sickness, you know, the crowds are growing, things are great. And then he started talking about dying, and they went, I'm out. I'm out. To be a fully developed follower of Christ and to say we've made a choice for him means to the death, to pick up our cross, and we're going to follow him to that point. Totally committed. You know, I look back and I think about Mary and Joseph. Mary carrying Jesus. It's a 3,500-foot climb up a hill from Jericho to Bethlehem. Third trimester. Think about that one. There were not Ubers, right? They were riding a donkey or walking. They didn't call Uber, okay? They didn't have a Honda Pilot or a nice Dodge Caravan or whatever. Pick your automobile there. They were walking. Don't you know there was a time when they said, let's just stop. God will understand. God will understand. You know, and so people say, oh, Landon, see, they couldn't stop because it's prophecy that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. But when you're walking those steps, when Mary is riding that donkey, you're walking up a 3,500-foot climb carrying a baby that she's about to give birth to, you can't tell me there wasn't a bit of, he'll understand this is hard. There's not a time in my life where I have found it really difficult to do something or be part of something and go, God will understand. I'm just going to stop here. I'm just going to stop here. Does anyone remember we were speaking of Elijah earlier? Elijah one time was running, right? He had burned all the altars and all the where they worshiped Baal, and he was running, and he sits under a broom tree, and he stops and he says, take my life, I'm not worth anything. You know what God did? God gave him bread and nourishment and said, get up and go. Get up and go. When we get tired, when we feel like we're overwhelmed, the Word shows us He will not depart us if we've chosen Him. When you find yourself in that neutral spot, in that pause where it's, I can't go any further, quit crying out to this world and cry out to the one who can help you and can save you. We tend to want to just cry out to something that's in the world, and I'm talking us, I'm saying the world cries out to things that are temporary. Maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's a sex addiction, I don't know. The things to fill a void, and guess what? When they sober up, when the high is gone, the problem is still there. There's only one problem solver. There's only one fire exterminator, not a fire extinguisher. The world has it wrong. Only the choice in Jesus Christ alone will get you through it. By the way, stopping is the same as neutral or idle. So I actually made that note. I don't know why, but some people want to, you know, it's not turning the car off. Sometimes you just sit there and let it idle and you're in neutral. You're not moving. And I have been told my kids my entire life, if you're sitting still, you're really moving backwards because nothing stops. Every time the sun sets, it's one less day here. Did we bring glory to Christ on that day? Did we bring value to whatever we're doing? Which, you know, did you lead someone to Christ? Were you that hands and feet for someone leading them to Christ? Or did the sun set? It's gone. Every day we have to make a choice. Are we going to be idle? Are we going to get off on the wrong road? Which, by the way, that's a whole separate thing because oftentimes that comes from just not following or understanding or picking up the word or praying or being in fellowship with others who can help guide you in. Those are gifts. Those are things God gave us to help us through as we make this choice for Christ, because He says it's not easy. We'll be made fun of because we don't see things the way the majority does. Christ taught clearly about two roads, two masters, and two destinies. In spite of what some churches teach today, choosing to be neutral or a bystander is not the way of Christ. It is not the way of Christ. Life never allows neutrality without exacting a price. Try to be neutral in politics, you'll soon be confronted at the polls. Try to be neutral on abortion or racism, and you'll someday be confronted with it. We are confronted with these things now, and we continue to stand on the sidelines and be bystanders or sit on the fence. We have to pick up our cross every day. You can't be non-involved in the great issues of life. There's a time when we must stand up and be counted. Jesus demands that we decide about Him. I'll give you one more example. Jesus was on trial. Pilate says, I find no fault in Him. I wash my hands. I tell you, Pilate is as guilty of the sin of putting Jesus on the cross as the person who put the nails in His hand. Because he knew and he did nothing. We can't sit and not do anything any longer. Some of us are in danger of washing our hands of the issues that we should be involved in today. And the issues that we're involved in today, God's called us to be salt and light, to be different, to stand up for those who need us. We cannot be bystanders as Christians. We're to work at it. We're to take a stand. In Matthew, Jesus asked His disciples, who do people say I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. He took a stand with Jesus. And we know not long after that, he denied Him three times and God forgave him. But at that point, he took a stand for Christ. He said, I know who you are. This is who you are. Others may not see it that way. I see it that way. We must make a choice. We cannot stand on the sideline being neutral or a bystander. Christ gave us His best. God sent His Son to the earth, humbling Himself to die on the cross and rise again. He gave us His best. He wasn't neutral. When it came to our soul, He wasn't neutral. He gave us His best. We owe it to Him to give Him our best. The Bible says first fruits, right? Our tithes should come from our first fruits. We should give Him the best, not the leftovers. Again, I ask, are you ready to give up worldly ways for Him? Are you a Christ follower or are you just a Christ acknowledger? You're the only one who can answer that this morning. When you leave here this morning, you'll have a decision to make. I'll have a decision to make. We'll all have a decision to make. Are we going to follow Christ? Are we going to just keep living the way we are? I got off that plane that day, and I was a different person. I've been a different person ever since. My wife will tell you, she made a comment to me the other day. She said, I've never seen you be this patient in this area of your life. Don't get me wrong, I'm not patient in all of them. God's still working off those hard edges. And it's not because I am awesome. It's because I finally gave in to God and said, you are my choice. This is yours. It's not mine any longer. I don't want to live the way I've been living. I want to live for you. I want others to see that I live for you. There's not a third. There's no middle ground. The world wants us to think you can balance this thing. You can't. The gospel, God's word says there's not. So today, today's the first, July 1st, you have a choice to make. Are you going to walk out of here? Maybe you're already a believer in Christ. Maybe I've made that choice. But you know what? I've slid into neutral. I've allowed this world and I've allowed the devil to put me into a neutral situation. And if you're like me, when God called it out, it didn't feel so comfortable. And I had a choice again to make. Am I putting that back in drive and getting back after it for Him? I'm not. Oh, maybe it's a rededication today. Maybe it's someone who's here that says, I don't know this Christ, but I definitely don't want that road of death and hell. I want to know more. I want to make a choice for Christ. I want help making it through this world. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. There's only one way to get that, and that's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, I don't know the hearts of the people out here, but You do. I know what You did to my heart when You spoke these words to me about making a choice for You and not being neutral and the dangers that are caused by this neutrality. The fact that we stand on the sideline and have allowed these sins of the world to be so prevalent, Lord, it seems so uphill. Lord, nothing's uphill for You. If we make our choice for You, You will see us through. Your word shows it and tells us that, Father. Father, I pray that if there's some in this congregation that doesn't know You today, that they come forward and they accept You as their Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's others that need to just say, look, I've been self-willed. My choice has been me. My choice has been this world. I want my choice to be You. I need to rededicate and get back on that right road again and get out of this neutral state. I pray that You speak to their heart, Lord. Lord, I thank You for being here today, and I thank You for Your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. There are going to be prayer counselors down here. If anyone wants to come forward to the altar, rededicate to your choice for Christ, or make a decision, the time is now.